This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? Alright, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Five years ago, my friend and I, 18 male, decided to drive up to Montreal. We ended up staying in an Airbnb in an affluent Jewish neighborhood outside the city. On the first night, we headed to our local train station to get to downtown Montreal Côte Vertu and decided to get drunk and look for weed there. We met a nice fella who sold us some, but then realized 5 minutes later that the weed mysteriously disappeared, so we went back to the guy and asked if we could buy some more. He introduced us to his friends, and we asked how much for another 3 grams. His friend said $17, which we thought was reasonable. He even gave us a brand new Samsung Galaxy as collateral for whatever reason. When we handed him a 20, however, he took it and then explained that he had said $70. We were confused and said, "That's way too expensive. No thanks." But when we went to take the 20 back from him, he started backing up and said, "What are you going to do?" We were outnumbered, as there were 4 or 5 of them and only 2 of us. With drunken confidence on our side, my friend grabbed his arm, and I yanked the 20 out of his hands. I chirped him out, explaining that I have a beer bottle in my hand, and that he could get his ass kicked playing games like that with people. This long-haired, Asian guy from the crew came up behind me and slapped the beer bottle out of my hand, saying, "What's up? This is Montreal, bitch." We decided not to continue the altercation any further and started walking away while exchanging insults. After walking a few hundred feet away from the thugs, I remembered the phone they handed me and pulled it out. It was fully functional, and me and my friend decided to smash it on the sidewalk. About 30 seconds after doing this, We look back and see the whole gang running full sprint towards us. It was almost as if the guy had just remembered he gave us his phone before trying to F with us. We immediately started running and ducked out into the shadows of someone's yard, waiting for an Uber to get us. The next day we dropped acid on the train and headed back into the city. When we arrived out of the train station, it looked like we arrived onto a post-apocalyptic wasteland full of tweakers. Drugged-out maniacs were screaming in the faces of passerbys as they walked by, casually stepping to the side and going about their day. Phone booths were smashed out, with groups of vagabonds contorting demonically. This was a terrifying scene to stumble onto while tripping, until walking a few blocks away and entering beautiful downtown Montreal. They were hosting Olympic time trials for cycling at the time, which was very cool to see. At one point, I looked into the glass windows of a McDonald's where directly in front of me, I locked eyes with an old lady with a Hello Kitty purse smoking a crack pipe at one of the tables. After a 10-hour, balls-to-the-wall trip, it was nighttime and we decided to head back to our Airbnb. When we arrived to the train station from the night before, we decided to stop into a McDonald's and grab a burger before Ubering home. While we were waiting for our order, my friend noticed the same crew that we encountered walking in and out of the bathroom of the McDonald's looking at us, and several more figures waiting outside. It was clear they were planning on jumping us and stealing all our shit. One of the guys came over to us and tapped me on the shoulder, signaling us to come outside. As I saw it, we had two options: either call the police and wait inside, or make a run for it. We couldn't afford to have our things stolen, as we needed our IDs to get back over the border. We made a run for it, sprinting out of the other exit of the McDonald's and hauling ass for dear life. My friend tripped and rolled his ankle, causing him immense agony, but we had to keep running to a nearby parking lot to get cover. Once we made it, we hid out in another restaurant until our Uber came and narrowly avoided an intense 7-person ass beating while still tripping. Still to this day, I have no idea why the guy randomly decided to hand us a cell phone for collateral 30 seconds before trying to rip us off. It's almost as if he was too stupid to think the plan out fully. I also have no idea why they were stupid enough to leave the other exit of the McDonald's completely open for us to escape. And if it weren't for that, we most definitely would have had the living shit beaten out of us and been robbed. Austin, Texas. Happened last night about a quarter after midnight. I was in my bed when I heard frantic knocking. I walked out of my bedroom while the knocking continued again and heard a woman saying, "Please help me," along with crying, but it was faint. I looked out the peephole to see no one there, and no other doors were being knocked on. Just mine, which is odd by itself, but I am also on the third floor. Why would someone walk all the way up to just my apartment if in distress? I think it was a recording, because if someone really needed help, they would be banging on everyone's door. I called the police immediately, and the dispatcher told me not to open the door, and if I had a weapon. I have heard of this tactic before, while slightly different with it being a recording of a baby crying. Just insane when thinking about the statistics of stranger abductions usually result in murder. Also, just so sick to try and prey on people's empathy. Police drove by. I saw them using their spotlight to look through the complex, but as of now, I have no idea if anyone was found or by chance someone was hurt, if they found her. I've barely slept with all the possibilities of how this person found me, where they saw me, when they followed me, or if they live in this complex. I am 4'10", live alone, and don't know many people in my area. No family close either. Have they been watching me and know all this? I mean, it's just making me go crazy. Stay vigilant. Don't fall for these tactics, and know that not everything you read on the internet is false. I heard about this a year ago, and wonder if I hadn't already been aware of this, would I have opened the door? Where would I be right now? Would I be alive? This world is doomed. Update 2:57 p.m. I have talked with the management to let them know what is going on. As of right now, No one else has reported to them of anything similar happening. I am going to contact the police again for an update. I was redirected to another PD, but they weren't the ones who responded to the call. I know it takes some time for reports to be filed, so I am trying to be patient. I just want to know if this has happened to anyone else. I have ordered a Ring camera and will be picking it up shortly. At least this way I could get video of them if they come back, and it will help me sleep better. As far as it being a prank, absolutely it could be, but I would be more inclined to believe it if it happened to other women in the apartment. Maybe it has but haven't said anything. One side of the coin, it's a very cruel prank that I shouldn't worry about. The other is that someone has been watching me and had something sinister in mind. Horrifying to think someone would pull an elaborate prank like this or real-world things that happen that we never think could happen to us. With guns and self-defense classes, I will be getting both of these, but they both take time and a lot of money. I don't want to just get a cheap gun with no training. That won't help much. It will be something I will invest my time and money into. But for the short security, I can really only get a Ring camera and stay updated with the PD. Thank you everyone with your helpful tips, like the neighborhood apps and gun safety. I appreciate it so much during this very scary time. Update 2:30 p.m. I have my Ring camera installed and working. I feel much safer knowing if they come back, I can at least have a recording of them. I know I need to talk to my neighbors, but right now I'm exhausted from no sleep and still spooked, so I will do that tomorrow. Also, hopefully the police report will be filed tomorrow, and I can talk to the deputy about this, see if there is any update. After my second year in college, I booked an Airbnb for a close friend and I that I had been eyeing for a while. It was an off-grid yurt, not a typical stay for me. The yurt was situated on a dirt road 10 minutes from the main road. To get there, it was less of an address and more of a turn right at the two tires stacked, continue for a mile, go north at the fork. The first night was great. The next day, we explored around town, then returned to our yurt to hang out. I didn't see any neighbors, only homes in the far distance. So given the heat, I felt comfortable wandering topless around our yurt. When night came, I slept naked. We heard what we assumed to be a distant party early in the night. Loud music was traveling from far away. Sometime along the night, the music stopped and I fell asleep. A while later, my friend, still awake, heard two men's voices speaking to each other. Their voices got closer and closer, until one started shushing the other, and they started talking in whispers. Suddenly, they stopped talking and walked directly up to our yurt, shining a flashlight at the walls. All our belongings were inside, but my car and our shoes, very obviously two women's, were directly outside the yurt. They then turned the flashlight off. Up until this point, I had been asleep, but awake to what in my mind sounded like a stampeding herd of animals growing closer. I remember being in a half-dream, half-awake state, where I genuinely thought there was a galloping animal charging our yurt. What my friend later shared with me was that she was pinching me as hard as she could, and that's how I finally woke up. I never felt the pinch. I remember gasping as I opened my eyes for some reason, as I was laying on my back in bed. My friend was laying on her side facing me, and she immediately brought her finger to her mouth to shush me. I was now fully awake, but frozen because I had no idea what was going on. We couldn't talk because the desert air carried every sound, every creak of the bed, and I was trying hard to breathe calmly. Since I was on my back, it was difficult to face her without making a sound, so I had my head slightly turned to see what she was whispering. Every minute, the wind would pick up and all we could hear was the breeze. The next minute, complete silence except for their footsteps and the dirt slowly walking around us. At one point, they stomped loudly all around our yurt, and I realized that must have been what I thought was the stampeding animals. It got silent again, and just when we thought they must have left, we heard the faintest sound of footsteps encircling us. I'm a very shy, timid person, but my fight or flight kicked in as wanting to scream as loudly and deeply as I could, "What the bleep do you think you're doing?" and yell and fight and kick. My friend was the opposite and told me we need to be absolutely silent. We were communicating on her notes app with the brightness turned all the way down. When it had been what felt like eternity, she texted 911. The dispatcher was absolutely useless and wouldn't send someone out because we didn't have an address. We kept texting them that we were on a dirt road, and all we had were the directions we sent them, and begged to send someone out. We didn't want the men to know we were on a phone because the screen's brightness was still bright against the complete darkness, so we gave up on texting. I hated myself for not wearing pajamas, for not having all my self-protection tools under my pillow, and instead in my bag on the floor. I remember completely accepting that I may get stabbed. I thought about what it would be like for my family to find out I'm dead, and how sorry I felt to not explain. I remember in the middle of this eternal frozen state, I heard the zipper rattling, and for the first time my friend and I broke silence and yelled, "Now," as if to cue me leaping to my bag of self-defense items by the door to pull my alarm, sound off my taser, and yell that 911 was on their way as my friend dialed them on speaker. I remember making ourselves as loud as we could. I remember the distant siren approaching closer, and I remember packing up my belongings quicker than I ever have in my entire life. When a police officer arrived, he waited as we packed up our bags into my car. He said we shouldn't be staying so far away from the main road, and we agreed it was supposed to be just a fun Airbnb. As we were about to pack up our last thing, my friend noticed large footprints in the otherwise perfect sand around our tent. They were inches from the tent, and we walked up that close because to get that close, you had to step over a circle of rocks decorating the border of our yurt. We only entered through the front door zipper where the rocks ended. The officer didn't believe it wasn't ours, despite the significantly larger footprints. He said he had been patrolling the area with police dogs, and that was what we must have heard. I hate that I second-guessed myself for the rest of the night, thinking we may have just scared ourselves over nothing. High on adrenaline, we made the drive home nonstop. We slept together at my house. I was shaking for the rest of the night, and we both slept with stuffed animals, which at our age was very out of the norm. In the morning, I walked her out to her car to say goodbye. I froze when I got to my car, because covering every inch were the largest, meatiest handprints in brown dirt. I consider my brother a big guy, and even his hand was smaller than the handprints on my car. I was so angry the police officer didn't see that. But I was also glad I had proof that someone was there that night. I took so many pictures because I never wanted to forget the image of so many handprints as evidence. The most unsettling part was that my friend shared with me there had been many recent unsolved murders in Wonder Valley within the year before. When she got home, she researched to ease her mind what the area was like, and found articles of missing people minutes from our site. I literally recognized every road the articles mentioned as the roads leading to our yurt. I realize you may be thinking nothing horrendous happened to us, but I have never felt that deep in my gut, subconscious, complete acceptance that I may end up dead that night. It was a complete gut feeling, and I don't know how else to describe it. My younger sister and I have always dreamed of visiting New Zealand. Both of us being from the southeastern United States, New Zealand seemed like a perfect getaway where our favorite trilogy was filmed. So, with months of saving and planning, it was the spring of 2017 that we flew to Auckland, New Zealand, for a grand adventure. It was the second day of our trip, and we were about to head out from our Airbnb in Coromandel. Our gracious Airbnb host made us a breakfast of bacon, eggs, and toast. We were munching on the breakfast he prepared in silence until he broke the lull by asking us, "Have you heard of pigmen?" My sister and I looked at each other, and then I responded with, "No, who is pigmen?" "Stu is his name, and he's a kind yet peculiar man with droves of pigs." If you take the 309 road, you'll pass this place and the pigs on your route to your next destination, Matamata. It's quite the novelty. We'll make sure to add that to the trip, I said while looking at my sister. Would you ladies like some more toast? My sister and I both said yes, knowing we'd need the extra calories for the long day ahead. You girls eat like farm girls. Oink, oink, he said in a playful tone. Again, my sister and I looked at each other, but this time exchanging curious glances. We thanked our host for our wonderful stay at his Airbnb, and we were on our way to Matamata. After what seemed to be only a few hours of driving, we come across a dirt road. The environment changed from only greenery and trees to old vehicles, other old structures embedded in the landscape, as well as an eye-catching feature, a plethora of pigs. The pigs appeared friendly enough to pet, but we were in a hurry, so we drove past the pig farm and onto Matamata. It wasn't long after that we had to take a sharp left onto a narrow road. Keep in mind, this is my third day driving on the left side of the road ever, and in a Yaris, so my driving abilities weren't quite up to snuff. As I am taking the left turn, a small semi-truck was incoming at a rather unsafe speed. I quickly realized that we are either going to be in a full-on head collision or drive even further left to allow the semi-truck to pass us safely. I acted on the latter of the options, and within seconds, the Yaris's front and back left tires were trapped in a large pothole. My sister and I both looked at each other in silence until she said, "Crap, now what?" We did not have any cell reception, and the only fully operable device we had was a GPS, which did not have any outgoing communication functionality. So rather than panic, we get outside the Yaris to assess how we can get the car out of the pothole. It wasn't long before we saw a white utility van driving towards our seemingly hapless situation. We had mixed emotions about gesturing the driver of this van to stop. We were in a foreign land about to rest our fate in a stranger's hands. Without even motioning the van to stop, the vehicle pulled over and nothing happened for several minutes. We patiently waited to see who would open the driver's door of the van, and when the driver finally presented themselves, it was an older man with white hair in his mid-60s who appeared to be a local farmer. He looked at us with a smile revealing a few missing teeth as he walked towards us. My sister and I telepathically made the decision to allow this stranger to approach us given we had no other solution to our situation. The silence broke when he said with what seemed to be an Australian accent, "G'day ladies, seems like you found yourselves in a situation." I put on a brave smile and responded with, "Yes, we have. We are figuring out how we can get the car safely out of the pothole without damaging it." I was conscientious in making sure to omit details about us being tourists, but I'm sure my accent and apparel gave it away to some extent. "Well, I'm not sure I can be much help with that, but I can get you a lift into town for someone to tow the car. How about that? I'd like to at least attempt in getting the car out before involving anyone else, thank you." He looked displeased for a moment and then turned on a smile once more. "Now, think. The three of us won't be able to get that car out of the hole. It would be best if you and your friend hop in my ride, and we drive to town. It won't take long." Without even needing to consult with my sister, we both knew this was a bad idea. The man said with a bit more urgency and slight vexation in his voice, "The way I look at it, you're better off coming with me than staying here to see what others will do to you." We both were anxious and fearful of what he may physically do to us. Terrifying thoughts popped into my head, like if our family and friends will ever hear from us again, or if newspaper headlines will read, "Two female travelers kidnapped and killed just around the pig pen." To our surprise, another van approached the scene and parked behind the old man's vehicle. It was a woman with gray hair and athletic build, about in her 40s or earlier 50s. "There you ladies are. I've been looking for you for the past hour or so." My sister and I had absolutely no idea who this woman was, but we followed her lead. She seemed far more trustworthy than this irritable Aussie. It wasn't long after the lady walked towards us that the Aussie shied away and made it quickly to his vehicle. He hopped into his van and drove off. I saw from the distance that he was talking to you and made you feel uncomfortable. Are you ladies okay? The woman asked. We said yes and went on to explain how we ended up in the pothole. We told her we were extremely fortunate that she showed up when she did. It was almost fate that we met this woman. She worked in construction and just so happened to have a board that we used as a ramp for the tires and a rope to pull the Yaris out. We successfully unstuck the car and thoroughly thanked our rescuer. We offered her money, but she refused. She only wished that we heed her advice. Be wary of devilish pigs on your travels. Not all of them are as friendly as Stu's. Edit. I live in an apartment complex. I noticed yesterday that my daughter's window screen was taken off and the lock was jammed somehow, which indicates someone broke into my apartment. I've never had any issues until the neighbors above me moved here a year ago, which are two guys. I keep hearing their footsteps every time I walk to a different room, especially the bathroom. I recently started recording everything and the noise for the manager, and she agrees and has sent two verbal warnings. Is there a sure way to find hidden cameras in my apartment? I don't feel comfortable because nothing was stolen, and I magically find tiny holes in my apartment. I may be wrong about the hidden camera, but I don't know who breaks in an apartment just to take nothing. I'm a single mother, and knowing that two guys upstairs are harassing me is frightening. Update. They finally came to fix my daughter's window. The neighbors still make noise, but as far as a hidden camera, I may have just been paranoid.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Because they did a sweep but didn't find anything. The landlord now says just to call the cops if anything happens, which it hasn't. I also moved in a roommate for further safety and precaution. My wife and I travel often, city to city, and at one point, we settled down in Vegas for a few months. There was one night we were arguing after work, headed towards Henderson, a city outside Vegas, with lots of isolated streets out that way. I was reclined back in the passenger seat when we ran over something, and the tire definitely popped. My wife got out to check and confirmed it. Within seconds, a woman in a very nice car pulled up behind us. I saw she was a woman, and I remained reclined in the seat, still mad and stubborn, assuming she was just checking on my wife, thinking she was alone. The woman said she had a brother-in-law with a tow truck who could tow the car free of charge to a shop. My wife asked why she was being so kind, and she said something like, "Us sisters gotta stick together, I'm helping you out." She then got back in the car, and my wife told me she was going to follow us with her hazards onto an empty, dark parking lot in front of a nearby grocery store to get us out of the road. I still didn't think this was weird at all. My wife was very confident this woman was genuine and really wanted to help. So we pulled into the parking lot, and my wife got out. I'm still reclined back, and this woman doesn't even know I'm here yet. She starts talking to my wife about how she changed her life within a year. She could put her on to what she does. It seemed believable, She looked very nice, and her car was definitely expensive. My wife kept insisting she could just call a tow truck, feeling bad she was taking time from her and that we could afford it. The woman kept insisting her brother-in-law was coming, to be patient. He really didn't mind. She even offered at some point to drive my wife around the area looking for a shop that was open. But my wife had already Googled some places. She told her that's smart, and they kept talking. No suspicion, honestly. She then starts asking my wife why she's in Vegas. We had NY plates. My wife said for adventure and doing something new, blah, blah, blah. The woman asks if she has family she's close to or a boyfriend. She could introduce her to some friends to help her get well acquainted or whatever. She motions over to me and says, "Well, I have a husband," and the woman looked like a deer in the headlights. I politely waved. She leans over and finally sees me, stares for a few seconds, and immediately gets in her car. Instantly, I never saw someone look at me like that, like she had to get away from me. She tells my wife she has to go to a store that's opening soon. Her brother-in-law is taking too long, but he will be there in an hour at least. She told her not to leave. He will come help. 1 hour. Okay, honey. My wife was confused and tried to ask if she'd be there too, but the woman just drove off. We knew then that something was wrong with that situation. We both just stared at each other in confusion. I have no idea still why that happened. We called a towing company and fixed the car within 40 minutes, then drove back to wait because my wife was persistent in believing the woman was going to come back or her brother-in-law would, and she wanted to let them know she didn't need their help. I told her I don't think they're coming back, but we did wait. No one came for nearly 2 hours before we drove home. I did some research and found out a lot of traffickers use women because they seem more trustworthy. Vegas obviously has a large presence of these things as well. The woman was almost desperate to keep my wife there. It was all so weird. Now when I look back, it seems more obvious that there was danger there. But in the moment, the woman was so charming and endearing that it seemed like she was genuinely trying to help. I still don't know, but I'm pretty sure she ran off because I was there, and she didn't anticipate a man to be there. I'm a single female in my 20s living alone in a large apartment complex. It's been a great place to live. I've had no complaints. However, I've noticed a pattern that a few friends of mine think adds up to a red flag. To set the scene, my apartment is on the far end of a floor in a little enclave area with two other apartments. One apartment is adjacent to me, and the second is opposite me. I had neighbors in the apartment adjacent to me who moved out last fall. In the apartment opposite me, I've only run into a woman coming out of it one time. She was moving out a bunch of clothes in boxes. We had never met or run into each other. I never saw her again, so I assumed she moved out as well. I believe this was around last fall as well. About a month or two ago, I first noticed the cleaning crew cleaning this apartment opposite me as if preparing for someone to move in. I also saw around that time a bunch of large boxes out front of this apartment and movers coming and going. One time I saw a couple leaving the apartment talking about going to dinner, but never saw them again. Ever since then, I've never seen anyone coming and going from that apartment, with the exception of seeing the cleaning crew going in and out at least once a week. But at night, e.g., between 9-11 p.m., I'll routinely hear the door open and someone coming and going. When I leave my apartment, I will also routinely hear some very muffled voices and or shuffling. The other day, as I was headed towards my apartment, I passed two really young-looking guys, i.e., maybe 18 to very early 20s, coming from the direction of my apartment, not far from it. They both made eye contact with me and looked sheepish is the only way I know to describe it. They struck me as out of place because of their age and demeanor. Nearly everyone else here is like in their 40s, 50s. The night before, while waiting for the elevator on my floor, I suddenly heard a man dramatically panting, and then saw him running from the direction of my apartment to the other side of the floor and heard an apartment door shut pretty loudly. It seemed so weird for a tenant to run so dramatically from one apartment to another on the opposite side of the floor. I had just come from that very same direction as well, so it startled me, and the floor is normally very quiet. Should I be concerned about this as a single female living alone? It just seems like a weird, potentially disconcerting, overall experience when reflecting on this pattern of observations. Update. So one apartment is occupied by a guy. Have never met him. But it puts me more at ease that there's a tenant there who probably has friends, etc. Coming and going. The other apartment across from me is vacant. The apartment manager used to live there. The concierge said that they repainted the apartment. So maybe the men I've been hearing or seeing through the peephole going in are painters or other workers. Perhaps they've just been working later at night for whatever reason and spreading out the work over a long period of time. Also, I don't do guns, lol. I don't want a gun in an apartment. I am a 32-year-old female, and this is something that happened to me only 2 nights ago. My husband, Kevin, and I were on the porch smoking a cigarette. It was about 9 o'clock at night. We live far out in the outskirts, off a stretch of highway between two interstate exits. As we were looking up at the stars, I heard something and told my husband, even though he hadn't said anything. Was that screaming? I thought to myself. Yes, it was a woman screaming like nothing I had ever heard before. It sounded like she was getting murdered. In between blood-curdling screams, she was crying out for help over and over. I looked at my husband, and we were both really freaked out. The more she screamed, the closer she seemed to be getting to the house. Eventually, I could see a figure running along the median of the highway, making their way closer to the part of the highway that was in front of our house. Our house is a good distance back from our driveway, but not far enough that you can't see anything. If we could see her, that means she could see us. I'd also like to add that we have no exterior security lights, stupid, I know. We were in complete darkness, but we could still see the highway perfectly fine due to the house across from us, which still had their Christmas lights on. I threw my cigarette into the yard and backed up to stand in the doorway of the house, pulling out my phone to call 911. She's still in the median of the road, screaming. If anyone else in the surrounding houses heard her, they pretended like they didn't. My husband rushed past me inside to grab his jacket and shoes. I told him not to go out there, but he ignored me and got dressed anyway. As soon as he was out of sight, I saw a red car peel off the road and pull over next to where the lady was at. With her in the median, there was still a stretch of highway between them. There was a man driving, but I couldn't see what he looked like. I only heard his voice. He was yelling that he was going to kill her and calling her some bad names. It looked like he was throwing stuff at her out of the window, maybe glass, I'm not sure. As soon as she saw him pull over, she started running straight towards our yard. By that time, I was already on the phone with the police officers. But as I said, I live out in the outskirts pretty far from town, so it would take them a bit to get there. I told my 9-year-old son to go into our room where the baby is, close the door. He could hear the whole thing and was pretty frightened. My husband ran out onto the porch and towards her. He asked if she was okay, and she then said that she had gotten a ride home from the guy, and halfway down the road, he started acting really creepy. He refused to let her out where she told him to and kept driving with her in the car. She looked behind her seat, pretending to look at a car behind him, and saw a roll of duct tape in the back seat. Fearing for her life, she jumped out of the moving car and just started running down the road, screaming for help. My husband starts to lead her towards the house, and by now, I'm also on the phone calling the police, having gathered more information than I was able to give them when I first called. They told him to stay on the line with them until an officer showed up. We let her into the house, and her face looked terrible. Her face was red, and she was bleeding from a couple of spots, road rash from where she had jumped out. She also said that he had hit her before she was able to escape. She came into the house. Then we locked our doorknob, deadbolt, and chain. We stood together near the windows, waiting for the police, even giving updates and answering questions on the phone. No, they haven't gotten here yet. Yes, his car is still parked across the highway. It's a beige sedan in front of a house with a lot of blue porch Christmas lights. I told them I was trying not to lose my composure when there was a loud bang on our door. The man was yelling, "I know you're in there. I saw you running. The people in there can't protect you. No one can." I shouted through the door that he needed to leave our property, and if he was smart, he'd get in his car and drive off. I told him we were on the phone with the police. The answer he gave us was the worst one I could ever hear. He said, "Go ahead, call the police. I don't care. They won't be here in time." The woman was freaking out and crying, saying, "Help me," over and over. I ran to the kitchen to get a large knife just in case. We had a huge solid iron door, but our windows were easily breakable if you wanted to get in badly enough. My husband had just come from our bedroom, which is when a squad car pulled up in the yard. He took off running towards them. They tended to the woman and got her home safely. As it turns out, she lives across the highway from us, 5 houses to the left. There are a lot of places for him to hide in the woods, so he really could have been anywhere. I just really hope and pray that he stays far away from here and that we never see him ever again. This happened back in 2019 when I was living in a small town in western Massachusetts. I had bought concert tickets, which included a meet and greet for one of my favorite metal bands. They were performing at the Palladium on a September afternoon. I worked in a town 45 minutes away from where the concert was happening. I had everything arranged for the big day. Unfortunately, my car broke down days prior to the concert, and the renting car place did not have available vehicles for that weekend. Concert pal, Jamal, was working in Boston that day, and he was going to meet me at the concert instead. Due to the circumstances, I decided to book an Airbnb for Jamal and I to stay the night. I ended up taking the bus after my shift at the hospital ended. I arrived to the bus terminal and request an Uber to take me to my Airbnb place, where I was planning to take a nap and change clothes before heading out to the concert. A gray Toyota Corolla that matched the description arrived. A very young guy greeted me and started the usual conversation. I gave him vague answers, but it was inevitable for him to notice that I was a doctor, as I was still wearing my blue scrubs and Crocs. 10 minutes into the drive, the driver offered to buy me food at Chick-fil-A. I politely refused him, but he ended up going to the drive-thru because it was on the way and bought me a sandwich and a soda in spite of my refusal. He started asking me if I was single, the reason why I was visiting the city, and if I was traveling alone. I vaguely told him about the concert, avoiding giving much details. The driver then started talking about how he was driving one of his friends to Boston, and it was a shame he couldn't take me to the concert place, but that he can drive me back to my Airbnb after the show ended for free. I didn't say anything. I was too distracted looking for the instructions on how to access the Airbnb that I missed the driver saving my phone number in his phone. After the concert, Jamal went to the parking lot to retrieve the car. In the meantime, I continue chatting with some girls I befriended until I receive a call from an unknown number. I ignored it and continued talking. My phone kept ringing and I answered, thinking maybe it was someone from a hospital because I did not have my work phone with me. After the 5th time, I picked up and I recognized the voice of the Uber driver, who was inviting me to a friend's party and that he was on his way to pick me up. My gut feeling was telling me how fishy the situation was. I firmly said no and then hung up. 2 minutes later, the Uber driver texted to let me know that he was 5 minutes away and that I needed to wait for him. I paled after reading the text. One of the girls noticed how nervous I was getting. Telling her my situation and showing her the text, She and her boyfriend decided to keep me company until my friend's car appeared in the corner. Saturday morning came by during breakfast, and while chatting about the concert, Jamal mentioned that Jason, one of the guys we met at the concert, sent him a Facebook message asking him if we were okay. It seems that after we left, a group of four men in a gray car approached them asking about me. They decided to play dumb, telling them that they haven't seen anybody with my characteristics, and walked away. We reported him to Uber and deleted the app. I kept receiving random calls from unknown numbers at odd hours in the night. I decided to change my phone number and avoid unnecessary trouble. Since that day, no more Uber for me. So my sister called my family the other day and told my parents about a strange man that she and her friend came across. They had been there for about a week and were out walking in the redwoods when a man appeared out of practically nowhere and startled them. My sister claimed that he looked completely normal and was even kind of handsome in her opinion, but he gave off a creepy vibe pretty quickly. He apparently began asking them weird questions like who they were and what they were doing out in his woods. After they explained that they were just out exploring, he quickly got annoyed and said they were liars. My sister and her friend began to walk away quickly as they assumed he was probably on drugs, but he walked after them and said more weird stuff. She says he even asked them to kiss each other because he knew they were lesbian lovers. They are not lesbians, by the way. My sister's friend apparently turned around and screamed at him to leave them alone. My sister said this is where he got scary as hell. She says he gave my sister and her friend the most evil and hateful look she's ever seen in her life. And he said this in response. You two are such disrespectful best. I've killed a few of you over the last few years, and I'd love to add you both to my count. My sister and her friend didn't even hesitate and both booked it right after he said that. They heard him chasing after them and screaming at them. My sister says that she couldn't make out much of what he said other than that he would chop them up and a few other threats. They both made it safely out of the woods, and they didn't see him anywhere. They got in their car and sped back to the town they were staying in. They called the police to file a report and headed to another area. They will be heading home soon. I'm scared and pissed off that some creep did this to them. This was 4 years ago. I, 31 female, had traveled to Prague with a friend, 35 female, to help her through some surgery. Plastic surgery is much cheaper there, and she was going to have a tummy tuck. We were there for a week, and she was staying in the clinic for 3 nights to recover, so I had the Airbnb to myself for a few days. I would visit her daily in the clinic, bring her snacks and books, and then helped her travel back home. One of my nights alone, I had decided to just walk down the street to a small store and get something for dinner and take it back to my room. My Airbnb was about 5 blocks away from a busy center square with lots of shops and restaurants, with maybe 2 bars and a few street lights along the way there. After leaving my room, I had walked about 2 blocks and glanced behind me. I am always vigilant about my surroundings, especially alone in a foreign city, and I clocked a man my age walking 15 feet behind me. I didn't suspect anything until he made the same turns behind me down 2 more streets. At this point, I'm getting paranoid, so I take out my phone and turn the camera app on. Since I'm not from Prague, I don't have phone service, and honestly, I wouldn't even have known who to call for help. I quicken my pace over the last block to the large, well-lit center block where there are lots of people hanging out and shopping. I stop and turn to face him and hold my phone up and get his face on video. He looks at me and then the phone, and then immediately makes a 180 and just walks back the way we came. I went into my little shop and waited a while before going back. I didn't see him again, but I am pretty sure he was following me. Now I always ensure I have a plan if I need to go somewhere alone, even in the daytime. Hi, everybody. I wanted to share a story that happened to me when I was young. Every New Year, when I was young, my parents and their friends would take an Erbin together to celebrate. We were a huge group, 6-7 families, so 20-30 people, so generally, we would stay in a large home lost in the center of France. My parents' friends had children around the same age as my brother and me, so we were all friends. So, it happened one year. I was about 10 years old, and I was bored, so I decided to go out for a walk around the Erbin. I was surprised when, really near to where we were living, there was an abandoned circus, really creepy. So, like a 10-year-old bored person, I had to tell my friends, who had the good idea to go there at night after dinner, to light the fireworks they bought. So, at night, we went there first with my girlfriends, but I only had an iPod that didn't have the flashlight option at that time, so I filmed and used the flash of the filming. We were quite scared and discovered a lot of scary details, like the huge religious stone cross in front of the house with a religious necklace hanging, or the inscription in Latin on the front door. Oh, I didn't specify that the abandoned circus was in the garden of the house. So, we came back a little scared and decided to return to our house. Then, we watched the video we made to show the boys the scary things we saw. And during our film, we heard a big scream that none of us heard when we were there. It was the scariest scream I've ever heard. We came back to the house afterward with the boys. They tried to enter the house this time. They opened the shutters of the front door, but it was too old to open. And it was at this moment that we all heard footsteps in the house. We ran back home and realized what had happened. It was impossible that somebody was really living in this house. The front door was impossible to open. Everything was covered by plants or rust. We never knew who it was, and we never came back.